You know, I just say this, if you don't like what you see, then call those things, pray, call those things that what? Be not as though they were. You want change, you pray for change. And we're not going to have it. We're not going to have problems in this country. He said, pray that you what? Live a quiet and peaceable life. So ultimately, people that are in authority, things they do affect us. Amen. So we thank God that God is influencing our leaders to make the right laws so we live a quiet and peaceable life. Did you get to Philippians chapter 4? Well, let's look at verse 6. We've been looking at this. It's good to look at it and meditate on it. Might be something that you didn't see the last time you saw it. Usually, for me, what happens is the more I meditate on it, I see something I didn't see the last time. Thoughts come, and revelation comes. It says, be careful for nothing. And that word careful is anxious. Be careful for nothing or no thing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And what? The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, it's interesting here when it says the peace of God passes all understanding. Peace that comes from the world, you're not going to, this is something that passes all understanding. So you can't find this peace in the world. You can't find peace through whatever it is that people try to find peace in. You know, they think, oh, well, I'll get some peace when I go on vacation. And then they come back and they say, I need another vacation. So I guess you didn't find it. So sometimes you're going to see, well, I'll get some peace if, you know, I do this or I do that. I buy this. I'll have joy and peace and I'll buy these clothes. See, it's temporary. You may get some joy and peace out of that, but it is all temporary. I'm not saying you won't, but it's temporary. And so this says here, the peace of God passeth all understanding and shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I remember one time, it happened to me once, I'll just say it that way. I had a supernatural experience. I didn't look for it. It just happened. And peace came upon me, and it was so tangible that I can't explain it in natural terms. I really can't. It's hard to explain. Every thought, you know how people, you smile and you still have a thought. You still have some negative thought. You may have a negative thought in your mind, right? Or something, right? This peace transcends all human reasoning. I'm serious. It was beyond me. I'd never experienced it, haven't experienced it since. It wasn't just like we come in a room and we have praise and worship and we sense the peace of God. No, this that I experienced was tangible and it transcended my human. It enveloped me. I'd never experienced that before. And so, you know, when we read these things, it means something to me because I experienced it once. When I read that, I said, yeah, it sure did. It passed all human understanding. I didn't try to get it or seek it. But what happens here is, this is saying here, if you purpose to not let something concern you, and you do what? It says, but in everything by prayer and supplication with the thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and it shall come. So I believe that these things, we can walk further and further and deeper into the peace of God, but it's got to be developed. I think sometimes We don't experience something, we don't think we're experiencing something, and we go, what is your natural instinct? Well, I guess, you know, maybe that didn't work. And I know you may not think that, but I'm telling you, this scripture here, it says, this peace shall keep your heart and mind. So what does that really mean? What it means is, to me, if we have spent a lifetime developing something, we need to undevelop something. You understand what I mean by that? If we have developed a method of, you know, you get concerned about something, what does that mean? You get concerned about something, you've developed something. And so you pray, you ask God, Lord, fix this. I believe I receive it. And you go right back to worrying. So what does that do? Does that negate something? It could. Because now you go right, you say, well, I believe I receive something. And then you go back to worrying. So what happens is we've developed some things. And what has to happen is when we find ourselves slipping over after we've prayed and we begin to worry about something or take anxious thought, we need to stop right there and say, no. Thank you, Father. Just like that woman got excited about the truth of the word, you say, whether I feel something or not, thank you, Lord, I believe I've got the peace of God. And you could, your flesh and mind could be screaming. But just like that woman said, thank God, I'm receiving the truth of the word, and I got excited about it. So that takes an effort. That you know, the flesh and the mind, if it's going to try to fight you. It'll fight you. And you've got to purpose, no. I prayed to God. He heard me. He heard my request. And I'm going to give thanks. What does that say? Let your request be made known. What does it say? Everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. So that means that's right along with your request. You got to make your requests known with thanksgiving. So this continues, and it says here, it'll keep your hearts and minds how? Through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure and lovely and of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, do what? Think on these things. Those things which we have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the peace of God shall be with you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So these other, you know, we've been reading from different translations. The NOLI, N-O-L-I, and the Centenary, it says, do not fret over anything. The Good News Bible, don't worry about anything. The WEAST, stop worrying about even one thing. So if we start worrying about something, then we need to stop. We need to stop right there and to get off that, you know, get off that road, as they say. Change course. Amen. So don't dismiss. I like this New American Bible. Dismiss all anxiety from your minds. So when this says here, dismiss all anxiety, what is that saying? That's saying something we're going to have to do, not the Lord. He won't do it. He'll let you stew. He'll let you sit there and just worry. And people do it all the time. Hey, I'm getting better at it. I'll just tell you the truth. I don't worry. I never was a worrier, but things in life can creep in and cause you to. I remember one time I was going home. This is a number of years ago. And just thinking about the finances of the ministry, it began to weigh on me like a coat and like a care. And I'm, you know, you're praying and I'm thanking God, but it felt like a weight. And I was, you know, not taking it, but it just felt like a weight. And thoughts were coming. And I'll tell you, I'm going along, and the Holy Ghost just, you know, you don't have to say, oh Lord, this is what I'm thinking. He already knows what you're thinking. He knows you're in a rut. And so I'm going along, and I heard him speak. He said, what did I say? He said, the people will come and the money will come. Oh, man, I'm going, yes, thank you, Jesus. I got excited about that word, and I just said, thank you for that word. Thank you for reminding me. And it was like, it's left. But see, I could have taken that. I was fighting against it, but the Holy Ghost, he just had to remind me of one word. What did I say? I said, the people will come and the money will come. Stop looking at it. Stop thinking about it. Stop worrying about it. Don't take care, you see. Just rejoice. Thank me. Thank me that it's coming. And so, you know, that's what I'm saying. I'm not a worrier, but sometimes some things can creep in and cause you to be heavy-hearted. You know what I'm saying? Weighed down with a thought. And so sometimes we just need to ask. That's why I say, you know, when this says here, he'll bring a scripture to you and remind you something and do what? Lift your spirit. And then what are you supposed to do? Say thank you. Respond. Thank you. Get happy. Amen. Glory to God. 1 Peter, let's go over there. We haven't looked at that in a bit. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6. I mean, what did Paul say? Paul, who had gotten all this revelation, right? He asked the Lord, he said, a messenger of Satan was sent to buffet me. He said, I asked the Lord thrice to get rid of it. What did the Lord say? He said, my grace is sufficient. And then that revelation, what did Paul immediately say? He said, I rather glory in my infirmities. He said, he began to rejoice with all of that he was going through. He began to rejoice because God, the Holy Ghost revealed some truth to him. And this is a person that certainly got more revelation than any of us here, right? And he was heavy-hearted at one point. So 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under what? The mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Doing what? Casting all your care upon him, for he what? He careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, see, who's our adversary? It tells you right here, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast. How are we going to do it? In the faith. That's how we're going to resist him, in faith. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So you can't be in faith and worry. That's the whole point here. He said, do what? Whom resist steadfast. How? In the faith. And this word casting, means to throw upon. It means give it to the one who can do something about it. So we're to do what? What does it say? Cast some of your care. No, all. It says cast all your care upon him. For why? He careth for you. So when we cast it upon him, we've done what? We've thrown it upon him. We get rid of it. Cast it. We cast it upon him. We don't cast some of it and then hold on to some of it. No, you cast all your care upon him. We don't keep some of it. Right? So if you cast, if I threw something at you, and I cast, you know, some people like money, I cast some money at you. Right? Somebody raise their hand. Yes, go right ahead. Right? But if I cast that, I don't have it anymore, do I? Maybe I said, I wish I still had it. Right? But if I cast that, I don't have it. I mean, just a simple example, if I cast my care upon the Lord, then I don't have it. I got rid of it. Right? So how do we do that? So we do it by what? By faith. We cast it upon him by faith. Lord, I give you this. And then if I've gotten rid of it, don't let those thoughts persist. Don't let them. So we're to do what? We're to cast or throw it on the Lord. Get rid of it. You know, you think about that. Why did he say that? Because we're not designed to be a burden bearer. We weren't designed to do that. He is. He said that. He's our high priest. 1 John 4:15, it says, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Because what? Fear hath what? Torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. So this is a good thing here. If it says here, he that feareth is not made perfect in love. So that's why when we keep reading 1 Corinthians 13 every day and we operate in the love of God, you become developed in the love of God. And you begin to know that God loves me. He cares for me. He's looking out for me. And when I know that, then when thoughts come about something, then I love says, oh, no, God loves me. He's going to look out for me. He's going to take care of me. He's answered my prayer, and I'm going to rejoice here now. And so here, and he's going to lead me in the paths of righteousness. He's going to lead me to victory and show me what to do. So I can rejoice in that, and I don't have to fear. I don't have to. And again, what we were saying, fear hinders our faith. It'll cripple your faith. It'll hinder it. So we don't want to have fear. We don't want to have anxious thoughts. Didn't say they don't come. You just don't have to take them. You don't have to meditate on them. You can do what? You offer up, what does it say? Let your requests, let offer up your prayers and supplications with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. So when we do what we're supposed to do, he does what he does. What do you do? If you have fear, you know, it's like, anything else, what do you do if you want something to change? You starve it. Starve your fears, feed your faith. Fears come, don't keep meditating on it. You know, it's the same thing. We call feeding it, it's watering. You keep watering something, you strengthen it. You give it more strength. You give it more power. You give it more life in your life. So don't feed that with more fear thoughts. See? So let's go over to Matthew 6. I'm looking at these scriptures again because I want to take a look at these Matthew chapter 6, and starting at verse 25. And it says, "Therefore, I say unto you," this is Jesus speaking, "take no thought for your life what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment?" And again, as we've said, this word, this phrase, "take no thought," means to not take an anxious thought. And we all know that doesn't mean you don't think about food, getting food prepared, buying food, getting them in the house, buying clothes, getting things. It just means, it doesn't mean you don't think about it. It just means you don't take anxious thought about it. And there's a big difference to be anxious or worried about something versus getting it, planning it, doing something that, you know, God gave you a brain, use it. He gave you a brain to think, but he didn't give you a brain to be anxious with and to be fearful with, right? So it goes on, we're not to take anxious thought for our lives. What are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to put on our bodies? And then verse 26, "Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap." They ain't even working at this. They don't even work at this. They don't sow, they don't reap, and they benefit, right? "Nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them." My goodness. "Are you not much better than they?" Who's talking here? Jesus is, our master. He said, look, these birds don't even work at the food they're getting. They get fed. I feed them. They didn't sow. They didn't reap. They didn't gather it into for harvest. They didn't stick it in the barn. And yet I'm feeding them. How much more are you more important than they? How much better? Verse 27, "Which of you, by what? By taking thought or anxious thought, can add one cubit into his stature? And why take ye thought or anxious thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these." Verse 30, "Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is," say today, "today is," and what? "And tomorrow is cast into the oven." So he uses this comparison of today and tomorrow. Say today and tomorrow. So he said, how much more? He said, "It's cast in the oven. Shall he not much more clothe you?" How? "O ye of little faith." So he's saying here, how are we going to walk in this? How are we going to operate in this? By faith, right? "Therefore, take no thought or anxious thought," what? "Saying." So the anxious thoughts may come, just don't say them. Don't say, "Oh my God, what are we going to do? How are we going to live? How about," you know, I see so often, and don't take this the wrong way and get in the ditch, but we've heard through the years people making statements like this: "I'm on a limited income. I can't afford that. I can't afford that. I can't do that because I only get so much money. I can't live here anymore because I can't afford to live here. 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 I can't afford to live here." And as one minister says, if you say so. It does not mean, see, this is where we get into the ditch. Take no thought saying. If God directs you to move, move. But don't move because you have watered your heart with those kind of words. I can't afford. I can't afford. I can't afford. I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't go there because I can't afford that. Don't put those words out there. He's saying right here, these birds here didn't even work at getting the food they're eating, and how much better are you than the birds? How much better are you than the lilies of the field? And he clothed and he fed. How much better? Man. You know, if we would just listen to the Holy Ghost, I mean, so many times, how many have experienced this? I have on multiple occasions. Sitting in my office, go over to this store. I say, I don't want to go over there. So I fight all the way and I find stuff that's for sale that's almost brand new. It is brand new, but stuff that's been marked down to next to nothing. He knows where the best things are. He knows what you have to work with. He knows what you got in your pocket. And he can dress you and feed you par excellence. And you stop saying, I can't do that. I can't do that. I can't afford that. I can't go here. I can't go there. We need to learn to stop. Stop moaning. Stop. Get excited about the word and say, thank you. He feeds me. He clothes me. My cupboards are full with the best food. My closet's full with good clothes. I mean, if you keep saying, I can't, what is Philippians 4:19? My God, what? Might supply? He said, I'll supply all your need. Look up the word need in the Greek. It just means all your want. So it says want is supply all your need, all your want, according to what? Your moaning and groaning? No. Through Christ Jesus, you're going to have to receive it by faith. We got to take no thought saying something. Stop saying I can't. Say I can. I can. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hallelujah. Amen. That's what, you know, that's what pleases God is faith. It pleases him. I mean, people that own businesses, you know, you need to stop saying, well, you know, it's slow. I don't know about the time, you know, just maybe this or maybe that. You're in business for yourself. You need to talk faith. God sends me business. Amen. Or people who are in sales work, whatever kind of work you're in, maybe you have just a regular, you know, when I call it a regular, I don't want to downplay it, but just if you're in an office worker, you just say, God gives me witty ideas. God thinks through me. He shows me what to do. He's giving me wisdom and knowledge what to do in this area. And he'll give you great ideas and give you witty ideas. People will go walk up and say, man, where'd that come from? Then you can tell them. Amen? So, verse 32. It says, for all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father, what? Knoweth that you have need of all these things. Who knows? He already knows you have need of it. He knows you have need. Verse 33. But what? Here's the key. Here's the right down here at the end. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and what? All these things shall be what? Added to you, unto you. Take therefore no thought for what? See, he talks about, remember we're looking at that scripture, today and tomorrow, today and tomorrow, today and tomorrow. He said, take no thought for what? For tomorrow, for morrow, for the morrow, for the morrow shall what? Tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Listen to this. This is Matthew 6:33 in some other translations. It says, the Phillips translation, it says, set your heart on the kingdom and his goodness, and all these things will come to you as a matter of course. I like that. The Living Bible, it says, and he will give them to you if you give him first place in your life and live as he wants you to. The Weymouth translation says, but make his kingdom and righteousness your chief aim, and then these things shall all be given you in addition. So what is God's first principle of prosperity? Put him first. Put his things first. Doesn't mean we ignore other responsibilities, but you think about him. You don't just say, oh, God, oh, yeah. Let me see. Let me think about him. No, he's on your heart. That's what he said. Set your heart on the kingdom. Doesn't mean you don't have other responsibilities, but you don't exclude him from your activity in the day. You set your heart on him and his things. Amen. Now, Matthew 6:34. As I was reading, listen to this in the Amplified, because the King James said, take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sometimes when you read in the King James, you go, what are they trying to say? But the Amplified, here's some other translations. This bug's going to not be around here much longer if he keeps hanging around here. The Amplified, it says, so do not worry or be anxious about tomorrow. Do not worry or be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will have worries and anxieties of its own. Sufficient for each day is its own trouble. The New Century Version says, so don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will have its own worries. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So why are you worrying about tomorrow? You got enough to think about today, right? Don't worry about tomorrow. The Good News translation, it says, so do not worry about tomorrow. It will have a dead bug. No, I'm sorry, excuse me. So the Good News translation. So do not worry about tomorrow. It will have enough worries of its own. There is no need to add to the troubles each day brings. Oh, man. There is no need to add to the troubles each day brings. What does that mean? Don't take tomorrow's troubles and add them to today. They got enough problems. So worrying about tomorrow is trying to add tomorrow's issues to today. That's what it's doing. You're taking tomorrow's issues and adding them to today's issues. That's what he's saying. Don't do that. That's what the King James said. He said, take therefore no thought for tomorrow. Don't take anxious thought for tomorrow. What are we going to do tomorrow? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? I wonder what's going to happen. What's going to happen? He said, take no thought. Take no anxious thought for tomorrow. The King James says, for the morrow. For tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Leave it alone. Right? So what's happening is you're using today's resources on tomorrow's problem that may or may not happen. You're taking today's resources, today's grace, to deal with today's issue, and you're taking it and you're bringing tomorrow into the picture, right? You're adding to today. So the Lord is saying, don't borrow from today's resources for tomorrow's issues. Don't do that. Listen to the Message translation. This is really good here. Matthew 6:34, the Message. It says, give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. And don't get worked up about that. I'm sorry. Don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. Why are you worried about it? Don't take thought for tomorrow. He will help you. That's what it says. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. Take no thought for tomorrow. Or you could say next week or whatever. So you can't change tomorrow by worrying about it today. That's what he said. Can a person add one cubit to their stature by worrying about it? So you can't change tomorrow by worrying about it today. Can't do it. But you can affect today by worrying about tomorrow. I'm going to say that again. You can't affect tomorrow by worrying about it today. But you can affect today by worrying about tomorrow. You can impact today, what you're doing today, you can negatively impact it by worrying about tomorrow. Everybody want to say it again? You can't change tomorrow by worrying about it today. But you sure can change today by worrying about tomorrow. You can get off in the ditch and out of faith, and you can start worrying about tomorrow and affect today. See, so that's why the Lord said, do not worry or be anxious about tomorrow. What did he say in Matthew 6:11? If you backed up in that chapter, he said, give us this day our daily bread. He didn't say, give us, you've heard Pastor Sarah say, give me a week's supply, a month's supply. That little interaction she had with the Lord at a young age. The Lord wants us, he said, give us this day, today, not tomorrow. He said, give us this day our daily bread. And actually, if you read it in Luke 11:3, it says, give us day by day our daily bread. That's what it says in the King James. Give us day by day our daily bread. Listen to this. This is interesting. I know you've all heard of Corrie Ten Boom. But listen to what she said. Now, this is a person that went through some real trials and tribulations during the Holocaust. This is what she said. Listen to this, about worrying. You can look these up. They're all online. She said, worrying is carrying tomorrow's load with today's strength. I'm going to read what she's saying here. She said, let me back up again. Worrying is carrying tomorrow's load with today's strength. It's carrying 2 days at once. It's moving into tomorrow ahead of time. Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. Ooh, that's pretty powerful. That's what she said. Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. Because you worry. It saps your faith. Is another thing that Corrie Ten Boom said. Worry is a cycle of inefficient thoughts whirling around a center of fear. Food for thought. Don't carry tomorrow's load today. You're carrying two loads. Why do that? We're not meant to do that. That's why the Lord said, cast all of your burden upon me. Cast it upon me. Go over to James for a moment, James chapter 4. Or actually, I'll tell you what. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 7, and let's look at that. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. And look at verse 10. You know, just thinking about how people think. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 10, the King James, it says, say not thou, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? Huh? For thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. Listen to the New Living Translation. It says, don't long for the good old days. This is not wise. You know, people say, boy, it was better in the old days. Really? You got a short memory. Some of them were not good. There may have been portions that were good, but when you start saying, give me the good old days, the Holy Ghost is saying, this is not wise. So now, jump back over to James, James chapter 4. And we'll just close with this. James chapter 4 and verse 13. See, this is talking about today and tomorrow. James 4, chapter 4, and verse 13. It says, I'm reading from the King James. It says, go to now, you that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and do what? Continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be what on the morrow. You don't know what's going to be tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and to doeth it not, to him it is sin. So the point in all of this is that we need to look to God. Do what? Put him first. Have our heart directed towards him. And don't take worry and concerns. It affects our peace. So we're talking about the peace of God. So when we go back and you look at those scriptures that we looked at the beginning, say whatsoever things are what? True and honest and just and pure and lovely and of a good report, if there be any virtue and any praise, think on these things. So don't think about tomorrow. Don't take on tomorrow's concerns today. That's what we're really talking about here. Don't be concerned about it. Doesn't mean you don't think about it. I think, you know, it doesn't mean I don't plan out and I'm not thinking about getting some things in place for next week or the week after, personally or ministerially or what. No, it doesn't mean you don't think about that. But when things happen or come up and maybe throw a wrinkle in things, you don't get anxious over it. You don't get concerned over it. And you're not sitting there stuck in a rut. Right? What does it say? Make your request known unto God. Think on these things here. what? Things that are of a good report. Think on those things. And we're going to have to work at it because life creeps in. If we don't keep our minds set on Him, what happens? Your mind wanders. Your mind wanders. What about this and what about this? And that's the thoughts that come. What are you going to do about this? You're not going to have this. You won't have enough money. You won't have enough food. You won't have this. What are you going to do about this? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to trust God. I'm not going to take thought, and I'm not going to confess and say with my mouth, I can't. Because at the last minute, God can sure open doors. If He feeds the birds, He's going to feed me. If He clothes the fields, then He's going to clothe me. He's going to take care of me all the days of my life. And you're not going to have to beg, neither are you. But don't worry and fret about those things. You serve a what? A good God. He's a good God. And He takes care of us. Hallelujah. I mean, even for Paul to say, I've learned how to both what? To be abased and to abound. So he may have gone through, he obviously went through seasons where he lacked in certain areas, and some seasons he went through, he abounded. But his need was always met. He didn't lack, he just said, I was abased. But he still had his need met. So we need to be comforted and not think just because we might be going through a season that appears uncomfortable that maybe I did something wrong. Now, I mean, there's always that possibility that maybe you opened the door to something. But why do we always think negative? Why do we always conclude that I did something wrong? Maybe you're walking through an area or a season where God's developing you. Maybe He's put you in a place to impact some people. And maybe, just maybe, you know, sometimes people go down into areas, people start ministries, you know, people start works, they start from scratch. They have to go through some things. And it may be some difficult periods that you walk through. But, I mean, just know that getting anything up off the ground, it takes some effort, right? Some work. And you may be going through some season of your life, but do not take thought saying, What am I going to have? What am I going to have to eat? What am I going to have to live in? God's going to take care of you. And don't talk about it. Don't say it. Don't take thought doing what? Saying. Amen. It'll affect your peace. Because that's not something we should be thinking on. Amen. It may sound simple to you, but I'll tell you, this is where we live. This is where the thoughts come. This is where the battle is. And those thoughts come, and you need to do what? You need to cast them down. Cast down every vain thought and imagination that does what? Exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Something that runs contrary to God's word, you know right away, if it makes you feel unsettled, if it makes you feel out of sorts, it didn't come from God. If He said, this peace that I give, let your heart not be troubled. He said, my peace will keep your heart and mind. It'll pass human understanding. Well, if your mind is squirreled up, you know what they say, or is in a rut, well, you don't need to know. It didn't come from God. A five-year-old would know that. Why waste time wondering? It didn't come from God. Do what? Humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. Resist the devil. Say, no, I don't take this. My God's a good God. He's going to take care of me. He's going to clothe me. He's going to feed me. So you just get right on out of here. Begin to laugh at it. Just choose to laugh. Say, ha, 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 and laugh. And the devil say to you, what are you laughing at? I'm laughing at you because you're defeated, right? That's what we got to do sometimes, is just choose to laugh at circumstances because we've already overcome. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you. Thank you for meditating on your word. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you that you're a good God. Thank you that you supply all of our need according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We thank you that we are well supplied. And we thank you, and we think on these things and not the lack, not the resistance, but we resist the devil in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, we thank you that we bring this good news into this earth realm, into this earth, that the devil is trying to blind people to the fact that they just have to struggle. And Father, we thank you that we can bring the good news that they don't have to. In Jesus' name, amen. You know what's interesting when you think about this? People take their lives and commit suicide and harm themselves because they see no hope. And they get so distraught that they don't see a way out. And they do what? They say, no sense living. Isn't that tragic? That's tragic. Because here God says, you're better. How much better are you than the birds and the lilies of the field? And so for us, we can bring that hope and that comfort to people that are distraught and hurting. Say, man, I serve a God that takes care of me. And sometimes just bringing just something simple word to somebody that's distraught can lift their hearts. Amen. Praise God. Well, praise the Lord.